at all, Dr. Robert. Dr. Robert, you're a new and better man. He helps you to understand. He does everything he can, Dr. Robert. If you're down, he'll pick you up, Dr. Robert. Take a drink from his special cup, Dr. Robert. Dr. Robert, he's a man you must believe. Helping anyone in need. No one can succeed like Dr. Robert. Well, 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 you're feeling fine. Well, 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 we'll make you. Dr. Robert.
This evening's Interside Radio program is brought to you by the Sandusky Funds for Foster Parenting and more. Welcome to the Interside Radio program. My name is Scooter, and I'll be with you for the next 30 minutes. I guess y'all heard, the Insurance Industry Wins Either Way Corporate Grifter Extortion Act made it through the supine court this morning. That's the bill that was compromised down to reflect the GOP's 20-year policy on health care reform that they voted against. The one their own presidential candidate, Wilford Romney, enacted as governor of Massachusetts and recently hollered, "Vote for me! I'll repeal it! Vote for me!" I'm sure y'all remember this health care debate where all the white, bloated, pasty, diabetic, geriatric Medicare bums fired up their state-sponsored hover-round scooters and wheezed their way over to the town hall to share their pleading emotional incoherence and spill their colostomy bags while handing out copies of Atlas Shrieked to astonished Mexican-Americans throughout the former Confederate states. Now, I, too, am a white, bloated, pasty, diabetic slob, but I'm not 65 yet. I think they're trying to keep me out of their Medicare club by enhancing the likelihood of death by dying, and it might be working. The infotainment punditry had to get up early this morning to practice their expressions of shock and hand-waving gestures in the bathroom mirror before going on the air to gush, "Conservative justice upholds Obamacare in surprise swing vote." What was he thinking? I don't know. Maybe he was thinking, "We already won this one. I'm a conservative. This is a corporate bonanza. Why stir the bedpan?" Now, call me paranoid. It's a safe bet. But I suspect that the Supremes are going to release their greatest hit next week. It's going to be their best mix of funky hooks and gospel-grade gobbledygook with a Commerce Clause backbeat and a catchy free speech lyric that'll make every citizen unite. And by the time it hits the top of the charts, only corporations will be able to finance politics. Now, if you don't think they're ramping up for something big, then why do today's dissenting opinions read like Ronald Reagan hired Ayn Rand to translate Mein Kampf? If you listen carefully, you can already feel the rhythm and hear the Sanduskian slap, slap, slap echoing from the showers. Work will set you free, America. So get out there and get busy. Just don't get sick.
Just to see yourself with Dr. Robert. Dr. Robert, you're a new, better man. He helps you to understand. He does everything he can. Bob Roberts. Well, 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 you're feeling fine. Well, 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 he'll make you. Dr. Roberts.
On a dark desert highway, staying just out of sight. Just like White House crashers, I don't have an invite. Up ahead in the distance, across the cactus and sage, I know I can find a brand new job, and I'll make minimum wage. Walking inside the border, a million stars out tonight. And I was thinking to myself, this place is heaven if you were just white. Then I see a big searchlight, it was heading my way. I was spotted by a border guard, and then I heard him say,
welcome to the state of Arizona. Have your papers, please, or you'll have to leave. There isn't much room in the state of Arizona if you're darker than George Hamilton.
So would you stop Obama? Say his race isn't pure.
Last week I stopped someone named Sonia Sotomayor.
Let me check my pocket, I belong here of course. I will show you my proof for now, if you will show me yours. Welcome to my homeland, I was born here. Yes, we've been here.
That's kind of clear.
5,000 years. I'm Navajo. We own this land you're on now. We fought illegals too since 1492.
Hey guys, Wilderst here with a couple of words straight out of the campaign doldrums. And from the green mist they come, relentlessly, doggedly, cattedly, trudging blank-faced and soulless. Armies of cash-hungry zombies brandishing partisan pickaxes, shovels, and crowbars, with only one desperate goal rattling round their feverish brains, campaign booty. Pieces of eight, entire eights, eight-figured eights. We're in that lazy seam that marks the home stretch of the national conventions, with nothing else to occupy opposing squads and raising moolah to prepare for the epic upcoming battle. Negative ads don't grow on trees, you know. The peripatetic participants are so laser-focused, you think they were being pursued by the hounds of fundraising hell. And maybe they are. Or the ghost of John McCain's late 08 October run. And with the election less than 5 months away, the time for random tips and digging under couch cushions is over. The two campaigns expect to raise $1 billion each by September. And that doesn't include the capital being sucked up by the super PAC vacuums either. They laughingly call this speed dating money grab a listening tour, but the only folks being heard are the ones speaking with big, fat, wide-open wallets. The country is currently being strip-mined for campaign gold. Kill-hauled for buried treasure. Huge looting machines are dangling potential donors by the heels to shake large bills, blank checks, and loose change out of pockets. Then they're handed a sucker and encouraged to go away. But stick next to the phone, there might be another call. Might, as in will, repeatedly. We can't blame the politicians. It was the Supreme Court that fired the pistol, starting this amazing race for wampum when it decreed money to be free speech. The campaigns are simply searching for the loudest voices, human shrieking megaphones. We're in the audition stage of American Idol, where the most strident wins. And don't bother asking what these big-time donors get for their greenbacks. You don't want to know. That's the dark side of democracy. Those that give, get. Currency gets you access. Access gets you influence. And influence, just a small step away from being appointed to head a panel to write your own arsenic loophole into tap water regulations. Face it, people. In America today, the major difference between a campaign contribution and a bribe is 5 syllables. The cynical among us might say we no longer bother engaging in elections. We conduct auctions. But then again, like everything else in this country, at least they're big and loud and expensive. For the CCCP, I'm Will Durst.
This fall, a new sitcom set in Milwaukee about two wacky people and the governor they own. Get ready for Charles and David.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Schlemiel, Schlemazel, Coke Industries Incorporated.
Give us any fact, we'll fake it. Give us any law, we'll break it. We're gonna make our extremes come true. Doing it Coke way, not just climate change deniers. We're right-wing nut suppliers. We're gonna make our memes come true. Doing it Coke way, there's no one we won't buy. Walker, Christie, even Herman Cain this time. There's no Coke blocking us. We make our own truth.
We've got the front groups.
We come off like all shuckers, but we're too rich Coke suckers. We're gonna buy all your dreams, that's true. And we'll do it Coke way. Yes, Coke way. Turn government into a joke. We'll do it Coke way. Yes, Coke way. Make the whole country go broke for Coke and Coke.
This fall, Charles and David, two kooky billionaires, try to make it on their own in Wisconsin. It's a tea party of fun. Check listings. Local crimes may vary.
This week, the Supreme Court said that Montana cannot limit the power of corporations to act as if they were people. And by act as if they were people, I mean throw their weight around for their own benefit. A friend of mine is a Republican, and when I mentioned to him that I thought the idea that corporations are people was absurd, he said that corporations are made up of people and should therefore be treated as people. I wouldn't have a problem with that if, you know, it made any sense at all. A lot of things are made up of people. Chess clubs are made up of people. The Ku Klux Klan is made up of people. Soylent Green is people. It's people! I don't think anyone is arguing that the Society for Creative Anachronism should have a say in the workings of our national government just because it is made up of people. If corporations are people, all groups of people should be treated as people. And yet, the same judiciary and legislative organizations that wish to give personhood to corporations are perfectly willing to disenfranchise unions. Forgive me for seeking consistency in our definitions. But wait. If corporations have personhood, does that personhood begin at the moment that a corporation is conceived? Can the abortion of a business plan that seems unprofitable be seen as murder, or does it not become murder until the corporation is fully funded? Wouldn't personhood of corporations make Bain Capital a serial murderer and, as such, subject to incarceration? Or are corporate people subject to different laws from corporeal people? Ultimately, the question of personhood is a clever misdirection when it comes to Citizens United. The real point of the ruling is that money equals speech. The unspoken but very dangerous corollary to this idea is poverty equals silence. Corporations are very, very wealthy. They have great resources at their command, and therefore they can buy a place at the table. Individuals who do not have deep coffers should shut up and mind their own business, which, obviously, they don't do very well, or they would have bigger businesses to mind, and therefore be prepared to buy a voice. Who would have thought the trick to free speech would be the ability to afford it? Maybe I don't understand what free means.
Thank you. The following is a paid political message from Idiots with Guns.
Hi, I'm Bill Newport.
And I'm Chris White, on behalf of Idiots with Guns.
You know, every time someone gets in the news shooting an unarmed person, the National Rifle Association rises to defend responsible gun owners. But what about the rest of us?
The Second Amendment to the Constitution doesn't just guarantee guns for smart, responsible people. They're for everyone.
We're idiots, and we have the right to defend ourselves.
Now suppose I see a black teenager in a hoodie walking down the street at night. What am I supposed to do? Call the police? Do what they tell me? Let highly trained members of law enforcement handle the situation?
Or let's say I've just had a messy divorce, and now my kids and ex-wife are going to continue their lives without my total control.
Plus, you're drunk.
Plus, I'm drunk. So, I have to go home and kill them.
What else can you do?
Do I have another option?
Probably. But point is, we're too dumb to think of it. That's why guns must be kept safe and legal for exactly the kind of morons who really use them.
So I can defend my opinion.
And I can defend my opinion.
And I can defend my opinion.
And I can shoot you in a homosexual panic.
What?
I'm not gay!
This has been a paid political message from Idiots with Guns.
Yes, Michelle?
It's really sad that the founders wrote slavery into the Constitution.
Yes, Michelle. It took the 13th Amendment and a civil war to get it out.
But a Supreme Court dominated by justices who want to view the Constitution as the founders did comes up with decisions that are pro-slavery.
Well, the Republicans call that pro-business.
It's pro-slavery.
I agree. The Citizens United decision reduces every individual citizen to far less than 3/5 of a person.
Can't you do something?
About the Supreme Court?
Yes.
I haven't told anyone yet, Michelle, but I do have a plan.
I'd love to hear about it, Barack.
I am going to invite the Supreme Court to go to an art museum with me.
The whole court?
All 9. Then we'll take a long walk together along Pennsylvania Avenue.
Will they be wearing their robes?
If they want to.
Sounds romantic.
Then we will have a nice lunch by a lovely waterfall.
Now, this is starting to sound familiar.
Then I take the entire court to a Spike Lee movie.
You mean Do the Right Thing?
That's what I had in mind.
You've just described our first date together in 1989, Barack.
I know, Michelle. That's why I think it might work.
If it puts an end to the pro-slavery Supreme Court, I'm all for it.
It's the Bob and Betty Show. Sounds like opinion, but it's really fact. And now, fighting for your freedoms, Bob and Betty.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm fine, too.
Well, it's summer.
In an election year.
And we've got plenty of money.
It's just pouring in.
Thank God money is speech.
That way, anyone can buy an election.
Well, not exactly. We're buying commercials to buy the election.
Yes, of course. Buying an election would be illegal.
And we're lucky. We can buy commercials at the cheapest rate.
That means we get more for our money.
We're spending billions.
I wish we could spend trillions.
Well, who knows? We have to get our people elected to save the country.
From the, you know, poor.
Right. They're the real problem.
If only we could just get rid of them.
We're working on it.
You know, some communist countries like Australia don't let you run commercials if they have lies in them.
That's why we have to win. To stop that kind of government interference.
Right. It's not about the truth.
It's about how you feel about the truth.
So we don't have to worry about the truth.
If we did, We'd have to remember all the silly things our candidates have done in the past.
That would take research.
Totally irrelevant.
No meaning at all.
There's no need for history.
History only gets in the way of the lies.
And the lies are what get our people elected.
And the wonderful thing is,
we don't have to lie about lying.
We're talking about it right here in the open with millions of listeners.
It's the new America.
Fact and fiction unite.
Who needs facts?
Just gets in the way of winning.
And Mitt Romney is perfect.
How do you tell he's lying?
His mouth is moving.
We couldn't do better.
I thought you didn't like him.
Well, that was before I heard the stories he's telling.
He's really good at making up stories.
He just says what Karl Rove tells him to say.
That's much better than letting him talk on his own.
Karl's a professional.
Heck, he could be president of the Liars Club.
I thought he was.
Of course, there's one other thing.
Oh?
Blame Obama.
Right.
Like, there's a big storm in Florida.
Blame Obama.
Wildfires in Colorado.
Blame Obama.
Earthquake in Texas.
Blame Obama.
We're going to win.
Big time.
A landslide.
Yay!
So, we have our strategy.
Lie.
And blame Obama.
Sounds good.
Unless America starts to pay attention to the news.
Or read history. Never happened.
By the way.
Yes?
We don't need the female vote.
What?
We don't need them. The white man turnout will overwhelm any other bloc.
No women?
That's right. And I have news for you.
Are you going to pull that stuff again?
We ran the numbers on you. So for Betty, I'm Bob.
I'm Betty.
Goodbye, Betty.
You have something planned, don't you?
Not me, the producer.
I'm going to talk to her.
Won't help.
The Bob and Betty Show. Sounds like opinion, but it's really fact.
You changed the name to The Bob Show? I'm getting you fired.
The Bob Show.
I'm calling the EEOC.
Bring it on, bitch.
Support for this program comes from Barack Obama, Vampire Hunter, now playing at a battleground state near you. Watch Barack Obama do battle with a living dead Republican-controlled House of Representatives.
Yeah, look, come on. Don't we have bigger issues to deal with?
Watch Barack Obama fend off the evil undead.
Said he wants everybody in America to go to college. What a snob.
And learn about the doomed forever souls who say Obama has a pro-vampire agenda.
He will wage war on the Catholic Church the morning after he's re-elected.
See Barack Obama, Vampire Hunter.
It is the right thing to do.
This movie is rated R for right-wing evangelicals. Barack Obama, Vampire Hunter. Remember, on Election Day, the stakes are high. And aim directly at your heart.
We now go to CCNN, the Crazy Credico News Network. We first go to the former president, George W. Bush, to get his take on President Obama and how he's doing after 3.5 years. Now, Mr. President, what do you think about President Obama invoking executive privilege in the Fast and Furious case that is now going and winding its way through Congress?
I think it's a good thing. I like it. I like a executive, particularly one that I schooled. I taught him everything. I think it's the right thing to do. He's been doing a nice job. All the time that Dick Cheney and I spent with him, teaching him how to avoid congressional investigation. I'm glad. I'm proud of him. It's a good day. I'm heartened by it. I am heartened by this.
And
aren't you heartened by it?
Oh, yes, because they're only taking up something that you did during your administration, arming the Mexican drug cartels to keep the drug war going.
Why not?
It's a win-win.
We got to win on this thing because if it weren't for the cartels, California, you see, they may have voted for pot to be legalized. And the cartels put a lot of money into it. So pot could be illegal, and we could all make some money off of that. And then put a lot of people in jail. So we owe it to the Mexican drug cartels.
And somebody has to arm them.
We got
to
give them, so we got to arm them.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of leftists in that country that want to see drug legalized. Got to get rid of those guys. Got to put them away. Waste them.
Well, now
guns. Plus, it's good for you can't sell guns. You can't carry them in New York City. So what are we going to do with all those guns? Can't carry them in New York City. Put that black football player in jail. Plaxico Barrett.
That's right. Well, he's out right now.
He is.
Yeah.
Tell him I got some guns for sale.
Well, listen, Mr. President, it's been reported in, I think, the Washington Post that Romney, his company, Bain, were the pioneers in outsourcing jobs. Now, I would have to suggest you were doing that long before Romney got into the game with sending soldiers around the world to fight in these wars.
That's right. I was a champion of that, sending people around the world. I was giving them jobs. That was a jobs program. You know, what else are these guys going to do? Guys from Bain out of work, I gave them a job. That was great. And they could spread freedom for other countries to throw people out of work. They want to have that freedom, American freedom, to outsource and put other people out of work and give everyone else a day off. Or we build low-cost housing in prisons.
Well, listen, that sounds to me like another win-win. But on the international front...
What the hell did I just say?
Listen, it's beyond my comprehension. But
mine
listen,
too.
What do you think about your former friend Hosni Mubarak in Egypt? He's now sort of going in and out of coma. But the new president that's just been elected, will it make any difference over there in Egypt?
Hell no. Why should it? You know, we got the same thing you have like this country. Obama's in charge. All right, you got a... guy here in charge, Obama, he's not really in charge. Why would elections good? All elections are good. But let's face it, military controls things like to do here.
But listen, I want to speak. I know you travel a lot with America's mayor, Mr. Rudy Giuliani, and I wanted to run a few items by him. Is he there?
Do I get paid for this?
Yes, you will. Go ahead. It checks in the mail, but there's no more deliveries on Saturday, so you won't get it on Saturday. Go ahead.
What do you want?
The America's mayor.
All right, yes. Well, you want to buy some 9/11 dirt?
Yes, I
heard.
I got
a whole pail full here, some beautiful dirt.
Oh, well, Mr. Giuliani, I want to also ask you, during that march through Harlem for Stop and Frisk, somebody that was at the front of the line was the Reverend Al Sharpton. Is he there with you? I want to know, how did he get to the front of the line of that march up in Harlem?
Well, I saw an opportunity. Whenever I see an opportunity, clearly, I take it. Now I saw my opportunity. I took my opportunities.
Well, Mr. Sharpton, now that I have you on, you have a show on, I guess, MSNBC.
Live from the White House.
Will you ever do anything critical of the Obama administration?
Only when it stops paying me. That's possible. Long as the mayor, I get something on the side for the mayor, I'm not going to criticize the mayor. Because it's going to help me in my long-term plans over at the House of Justice.
Well, listen, that is the end for covering up on what's going on here in the United States and New York City.
Give me another 20 years.
That was CCNN. John McDonough with Randy Credico on Voices. From the top, Dr. Robert Swingvote by yours truly. Music by the Beatles and CyberZen Sound Engine, followed by Will Durst. Doing it Coke Way was John Marshall from the Final Edition Radio Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. Citizens United was Dylan Brody. Idiots with Guns was Barry Lank, also from the Final Edition Radio Hour. Barack Obama Vampire Killer was Paul Fisher. Supreme Date was David Dozer with Janet Coleman. Bob and Betty were our very own Otis McClay. This has been the Inner Side Radio Program. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week.
Down with disease, 3 weeks in my bed, trying to stop these demons that keep dancing in my head. Down with disease, and I'm up before the dawn, 1,000 barefoot children outside, dancing on my lawn.